Hi, everyone, and welcome to Author's Corner. You can check me out on Twitter, at Total Tutor, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Total Tutor, Pinterest, Neil Haley, Google Plus, and also Periscope, at Total Tutor. And then you could go neilhaley.com, all those different places, but everyone needs to attend the Miami Book Fair again, November 13th to 20th. The Street Festival's 18th to 20th. Go to miamibookfair.com for more information. I woke up, it was freezing cold. We're getting, I guess, our final warm spell. I bet you next week it's going to be freezing. We're going to get our coats out. Before you know it, it's going to feel like winter. Come to Miami. It won't feel like that. And I'm excited to welcome the program author Andre Alexis. Andre, thanks for calling, and how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Absolutely, Andre. And will this be your first time in Miami for the fair?
Not my first time in Miami. My first time in Miami was a few years ago because I have a friend who lives in Ocala. So I drove from Ocala to Key West, and Miami was part of that. And it was a really interesting journey.
Yeah, okay, cool. So, but not for the festival?
First time for the festival, yes.
Oh, for the first time. Okay. So, yeah, which book did you have? Did you have a different, what book did you have when you were at the festival the first time?
Oh, no, I wasn't at the festival the first time. I was just driving for the hell of it the first time. No, this is my first festival, and I'm doing it for The Hidden Keys, as opposed to 15 Dogs, which was last year.
Ah, gotcha. And so let's talk about how you became an author, Andre. That's an interesting story real quick. Were you always a writer, or how did that just come about, first of all?
First of all, I wanted to be a musician. So I played guitar, you know, starting around the age of 14 or so. But to tell you the truth, I just found the company of musicians really boring. I guess there was a lot of marijuana involved, and I'm just like a talker naturally. And so I kind of moved over into writing because I like being by myself and using words.
I gotcha. when did that transition take place where you started to really like to write? How old were you?
19, 20. Yeah, definitely. And that's when I kind of decided that, I had been trying with no success to publish anything, but I realized that I really loved doing what I was doing. I really loved writing, regardless of whether it brought me any success. And so I kind of knew that this was important to me because I was more fascinated by doing the work than by anything else, like getting published or getting approval or anything like that. The work just fascinated me. You could sink into it.
So how many things did you write before you tried to get published?
Well, I wrote for a long time. I'm kind of a slow learner. And then I got published when I was around 25, and it was one short story. And then it was a while before I got my first book published. I think I was 30-something when I got my first book published. So it took a long time, but that's, as I said, because I'm a slow learner. But I didn't mind. I really just loved the process. What took me a long time was not writing like my idols. So I'm a Tolstoy fan, and I'm a Beckett fan. A lot of my early work just sounded like bad versions of their work. So the struggle was to just get some voice that sounded a little bit like myself and less like the people I love.
Gotcha. So then you talked about the slow learner. Then finally, once you wrote your 15 Dogs, and it's just like, okay, there you go. That's when you were finally, you said, okay, I'm here. I got some award.
It's not so much that I said I was here. It's that a bunch of people said, oh, we like this. And they bought it and said, this is good. Why don't you keep doing this? Which I had been doing for a while by the time that happened. So it was a bit mysterious, you know. That was my fifth novel, I think. So it was, I didn't do anything differently while writing that one. It's just that it was received differently. And that was, it's kind of mysterious, that process.
So you have no idea.
Why people like what they like is very hard to tell.
So you don't know why it was received the way it was received and then it was. And what made you crank out another book that quickly right after that?
Here's the thing. By the time 15 Dogs was published, I was already halfway through the next novel anyway. What happened, which is pretty unusual, is that sometime in 2009, I had the idea for 5 separate books at the same time.
Oh, my. Wow.
And so I've been just writing every one every year. I've published a book a year for the last 4 years. So I'm like well into the next one now, and then I'll have one more and I will be done. So with 15 dogs and Hidden Keys coming right after it, I didn't have a choice. It's not so much like I'm doing five different books. It's like one large book that is taking me, you know, five sections to do.
All right. So let's talk about, from 15 Dogs to your latest novel. Tell us about that.
Yeah, 15 Dogs is just before this one, but I guess it's still fairly new in the States. 15 Dogs was, I've always loved animal stories, and I've always loved the animal stories with morals to them. When I was growing up, my father used to tell me Trinidadian folk tales, because I was born in Trinidad and my family is Trinidadian. And so I've always had a love for animal folk tales. And 15 Dogs was a way of talking about animals and gods and going back to the kind of stories of my childhood that I loved. And in a way, the one that's after it, The Hidden Keys, which was inspired by Treasure Island and is a an adventure story, is similar. It's like these are the things that moved me when I was younger. I love Treasure Island. I love Robert Louis Stevenson anyway. I think he's a great writer. But Treasure Island was a novel that I adored. And so this was a chance to do, I went with The Hidden Keys, it was a chance to do an adventure story in the old-fashioned way, and yet set it in Toronto. So I adored doing that as well.
So tell me, let's go into Hidden Keys. So you're a fan of Treasure Island, so how did you come up with the whole storyline for Hidden Keys?
Okay, well, you know, briefly, I was I wrote a novel in London, England, and as I was traveling back home to Toronto, I had a copy of Treasure Island with me, and it was given out free in the Times of London. They were promoting English literature that year, so I had, I got the Times, and then I got a copy of Treasure Island. I hadn't read it since I was a kid, and I loved it. I loved it because of its writing, but I loved it also because it's pretty subtle in terms of what is good and what is evil. I mean, you might remember Jim Hawkins, but Long John Silver is a pretty complicated character. So in a way, Treasure Island is how Jim Hawkins discovers, what he thinks about good and evil. So at its base, as well as the search for treasure, there's the search for adulthood, the search for the distinguishing between what is good and what is evil. And I just loved that idea. And so I kept that with me. And while I was writing Hidden Keys, I kept the idea of a treasure that needed to be found and of a moral journey, the notion going towards adulthood in being able to tell the difference between good and evil was really central to me.
So the characters are able to learn about what's from differentiating between good and evil throughout this process of finding the keys.
Yes, exactly. The main character whose name is Tancred. It's basically his journey, and it's a little bit his journey, but it's also a little bit of a Grail quest. I sort of tied Treasure Island in with the search for the Grail. And so there's all sorts of kind of symbolic elements in there. As a matter of fact, I hadn't realized that Stephen King's Dark Tower series is based on Grail myth as well until somebody said, oh, you must have been copying Stephen King, because he has a Castle Rose, which I have in Hidden Keys, in his work. And I didn't know that at all. I wasn't copying Hidden Keys. I wasn't copying Stephen King. I was copying some of the things from Grail mythology. And so it was kind of amusing to discover that Stephen King and I are doing similar things, I guess.
Have you met Stephen King before, Andre?
I haven't met him at all. I like his work. I mean, it would be amusing to talk to him. I gather he's a nice guy.
Yeah, I've heard that, and he really wants to give back to other writers, sure.
Yeah, he's a generous human being.
Absolutely, from the success, because everyone knows, Andre, it's a battle, right? Yeah,
yep.
to get your work published, for people to discover you and say, you know what, you're pretty darn good. Well, okay.
Yeah, and it's a pretty mysterious battle there.
And then I said the Super Bowl of books, the Miami Book Fair, when you get there, and then you have fans when Andre's used to being in his house or somewhere writing where there's not the loud applause. It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Well, I like to write in a place where it's like no windows and just one door. I love being by myself in like a concrete bunker. So, yeah, anything that is outdoors or anything that involves seeing other people is almost overwhelming.
So how does it feel, you know, when you get to, or I guess you've, I don't know what other book fairs you've been to or different things, where you have fans that tell you what they think of your book and are excited to meet you? That's pretty cool.
It is, but, you know, part of me feels like they're talking to somebody else, and I'm like, oh, well, I'll be sure to tell him when I see him next. You know, the guy who wrote the book, they're like, oh, we really like that work, and we really like that book. For me, it's like, yes, they like the guy who wrote the book, but to be fair, by the time the book is published, I'm no longer the guy who wrote that book. It's usually like a year in the past, and I'm on to the next one. So it's not like I feel like a fraud. I just feel like the writers, the Andre Alexis representative, the nearest representative to that guy.
Your life changes and you're on to your next book, right? So are you already writing your next book?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. I'm about one quarter of the way through it, and so I'm just looking forward to spending a lot of time with it and getting it finished. I'm looking forward to getting all five done. After that, I feel like
right.
My work is finished.
And you were talking about living in Toronto, so it's probably colder in Toronto right now than Pittsburgh, right?
Colder, yeah. Definitely. But it's actually not that bad. It's like, you guys are Fahrenheit now.
Yes.
I can't remember what Fahrenheit is. It's like 5 or 6 degrees here. What is that Fahrenheit now?
That's probably like 40 or something. It's not.
Yeah.
I forget the whole measurement, whatever. But you're putting me on the spot. I was in New York this weekend, and it was hectic as can be, and I'm trying to get back into my Pittsburgh phase of, thank you, I don't live in New York. And Toronto's like New York, the New York of Canada, right? It's
yeah,
also
a little bit. Yeah. It's the center of culture.
Exactly. And maybe, but not, there's no real Times Square type of craziness, would you say?
No. You know, getting used to Toronto was one of the things that was, it helped inspire the novel. Just the way Toronto is and the way the city is was one of the things that was at the heart of The Hidden Keys. You know, I'm actually from Ottawa. And so discovering Toronto and what it means and how it means was just a part of writing the new novel. I guess when I was thinking of The Hidden Keys, I was thinking, what would I miss if I never got to see Toronto again? And so my kind of love for this city was at the heart of The Hidden Keys as well. If Toronto is like New York, no. Toronto's very, very different. It's got, you know what, in a way, it's more multicultural. I just spent a month in New York not too long ago, and I like the city very much, and it's busy and it's wonderful, but it doesn't feel like Toronto because it still feels very American. It feels like an American city. Toronto sometimes doesn't feel Canadian. It feels like a mixture of several places at once. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
it's very hard to define.
That's interesting. All right, yeah. Andre, where's the best place we can find information on you, purchase your book, and learn more about you? Where can we go?
You know what? Best place is probably the Coach House Books website. I think it's Coach House Books or chbooks.com. And so that would be the best place. You heard the echo of somebody screaming at me there.
Hey, you always have to have your handlers, right, Andre?
Yeah.
That's how it works. Well, Andre, good talking to you, man. Enjoy Miami, and thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. You're listening to Author's Corner, and we'll be back in just a moment.